to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show today. It's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Not happy about much else. It's just another really miserable day in the news. It is just now breaking. Illinois Governor Blagojevich has been kicked out of his job by the Illinois legislature. Rough time to be out of work, of course, and I don't know, maybe his hair can get a gig on Animal Planet or something, but he is definitely out. And, of course, it raises the question about whether we have double standards in our procedures here, because we've got a president who lied us into a war in Iraq, and we couldn't get him impeached. And Blagojevich talks about accepting compensation for Barack Obama's seat, which is wrong, but he didn't actually do it. He just talked about it, and he loses his job. And it reminds me of this little comparison that we saw the other day where this poor guy down in Shreveport, Louisiana, well, he's not a poor guy. He deserves it. He stole $100 and he gets sent to jail for 15 years. Then you've got one of the smaller pyramid scheme operators who ripped off his investors for something like $500 million, and he gets sent to jail for 3 years. And then you get Bernie Madoff, who has made off with $50 billion, and he is still sitting at home. You know, and then you have, of course, the CEO of Agriprocessors, which, I mean, has had like something like almost 100 charges against them for money laundering, identity theft, illegal immigration, harboring illegal aliens, a meth lab on the premises, and just on and on and on. And this guy is allowed to stay at home. And the guy who's down there stealing a few bucks to feed his family gets sent to jail for a really, really long time. And it reminds me of some of the judicial abuses that you would see in France just before the guillotine blades started falling. Now, for those of you who tuned in today to hear about the torture, we were going to have Lenny Charles from INN was scheduled to be on the show today. He is unfortunately had to postpone for 24 hours. He'll be on the show tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the recent announcement by the United Nations Special Reporter on Torture that the United States government, Barack Obama, are legally obligated under the UN Charter to prosecute George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld, possibly others, for the use of torture. It is not an option. If Barack on POWs, it will be a defiance of the United Nations. This is the reason we supposedly bombed Iraq with Saddam was defying the United Nations. Actually, it turned out he wasn't doing that at all. But you get the idea here. Now then, another rough day for the economy. The Dow Industrials dropped 260 points, basically nulled out the last 3 days. Everybody was saying, oh, it's a rebound. We're on our way up. We're going to be rich. We're crushing the short sellers and so forth and so on. And then today, the law of gravity came back with a little bit of a vengeance, and it's back down there again, hugging that 8,000 barrier again. More layoffs, and this one actually hits a friend of mine. Cessna, the aircraft manufacturer, has let almost 4,000 people go. And this is not a large company. This is a, you know, 4,000, that's a significant number of people. They were let go from mostly around their main manufacturing plant. So, you know, it's a real shame. And my friend, he's got a little video up on the main page of whatreallyhappened.com, which apparently CNN has played this little song that he wrote about Bernie Madoff. And he was with Cessna for 12 years, and that was kind of what he was into doing, and now he is out of work. I don't know, maybe he and former Governor Blagojevich can go play, you know, canasta with Ken Lay or something. I don't know. Ford is reporting a $5.9 billion loss. This is significant because way back when those automakers flew their private corporate jets down to Washington, D.C. to plead for a bailout to save their corporations. And the Congress, in order to make it a little bit more palatable to the voters, said, well, these are loans. They're emergency loans, and, you know, you can have the money, and, you know, you'll pay us back somewhere down the road. Well, if Ford is reporting a $5.9 billion loss, this basically means, and I warned you this was going to happen, this basically means that these loans to the automakers are going to default. And that means they're going to be repaid to the Federal Reserve by you and I and your children and your grandchildren. It's just another little bit of this huge, huge tab the federal government is running up willy-nilly with the expectation that somehow, somewhere down the road, you and I are going to pay it all back. And we are already talking trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. In fact, there was a story just came up that Senator Schumer has just come up. The estimate for setting up the bad bank to buy up all the toxic assets has now hit $4 trillion. Remember back when they were talking about that first bailout, and they just pulled the number out of thin air, $750 billion to buy up the toxic assets, to free up credit for homeowners and so forth and so on. And there wasn't any real science behind the number. They just picked an impressive sounding number out of thin air. They ramrodded it through Congress, and as soon as they got it through Congress, they immediately changed what it was for and started doing direct cash injections into the banks, into Wall Street, all on the backs of the American taxpayer. And now we're finding out today that to go back and do what they originally wanted to do with that money, the price tag is already up to $4 trillion. Folks, that's a lot of money. Even the Pentagon has a hard time going through that kind of cash that quickly. It's out there. I mean, that's a lot of zeros there. So, obviously the big story today, and we were expecting this, we told you earlier in the week the numbers were going to come in on today. Unemployment is just exploding upward. The government is claiming there's a national average of 7.2%. Now, this number is misleading because this does not accurately reflect the fact that a lot of people have lost high-paying jobs and they've had to take low-paying jobs. They're still considered employed, but the tax revenues from them are reduced. Their ability to pay their mortgages and credit cards is, you know, obviously impaired tremendously, and the unemployment numbers are not reflecting people who have run off the end of their unemployment benefits, or self-employed people who are running businesses of their own, who are their clients have gone away. And, you know, my business, because, you know, I make TV commercials and other stuff, that business has gone away. And, you know, fortunately, I've got some industrial film clients that we're paying the bills here with. And, of course, we always welcome donations to the What Really Happened website. Plug, 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 plug. But for a lot of people who are running their businesses, their clients have gone away. Their incomes are in decline. This is not being reported in the official government figures. Now, it's gotten so bad out there that the state of Tennessee has these 22 career centers where you're supposed to go and retrain and learn how to do things. They have been turned into emergency unemployment offices where you can go and file for your unemployment insurance, because the normal systems for processing unemployment claims in Tennessee are completely overwhelmed. And that's another reason these numbers may not be accurate, because many of the states they can't process all the paperwork. There are big stacks of unemployment claims which have yet to be processed. And obviously, those are not reflected in the official government reports on unemployment. We have not hit this jobless boom. We are hearing more and more companies are just letting people go. And, of course, those people are all customers. So every time they get let go, it means the flow of revenue into the retailers and the tax coffers continues to decline. It is this vicious downward spiral. And it is not going to be fixed by taking more money away from the people and dumping it in at the top to Wall Street and the investment banks and all the rest of that. It won't work that way. You can't pick the economy up by the roof. The roof will come off. You must pick the economy up by the foundation, and that is the working people of this country. They don't want handouts. They want jobs. They want jobs that make products, products that we can sell to other countries to bring money back into the system. Everything the government is doing right now is just moving the debt around for, you know, in response to political pressures. And it's like a big game of musical chairs. Everyone's jumping around. And when the music stops, whoever's without a chair, they get stuck with the bill. And more than likely, that is intended to be you and I. The last official act of any government is to loot the country. It's going on right now in front of you. We're going to take a break here. We come back talking about the economy some more. If you want to join us on the air, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Pick up the phone, punch the buttons. Donovan is answering the phones today. We'll be right back.
The This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Tonight. And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the economy this show. We're going to be getting into Gaza and Israel a little bit later because it's getting crazy over there. It's real Twilight Zone stuff over there right now. Anyway, locally here in Hawaii, our tourism is down. It's major, major drop. Americans can't afford to come out here anymore. And the rest of the world hates the United States so much they don't want to come and vacation here. You know, it's like, you know, at the height of World War II, let's go see the sights of Berlin. Really doesn't work very well. And causing a great deal of hardship here as well. I was just driving down to the store earlier today. We're seeing more eviction piles. And what I mean by that is you drive by and out on the curb in front of these condos and stuff, you'll see a whole pile of household stuff, mattresses, headboards, kids' bicycles, TVs. And when it's something from pretty much every room in the house is in that pile, you know it's somebody who has lost their home and they're having to make do. And, you know, especially out here in Hawaii, you've just got to, you know, leave with what you've got on your back to get back to the mainland or wherever you're going to go. A lot of people are leaving the country right now. You know, they're hoping things are going to be better in other places. Congress just passed this stimulus plan. They're fighting back and forth about it. There's two versions they're trying to resolve. The GOP voted unanimously against Barack Obama's plan in the House, proving that they're just incredibly partisan about this whole situation. Pils Limbaugh, the new self-proclaimed voice of the GOP, is saying he hopes Obama fails to revive the economy. He doesn't care if you lose your house, your job, your car, your business, you go hungry, you can't get medical care. All of this is a small price to pay to embarrass the opposition party, in the view of Pils Limbaugh here. So, and it's just absolutely disgusting. You know, it is time to put all of this game playing down and point keeping and realize our country is in serious trouble. And the vast majority of Americans are in serious trouble. The problem with our Congress is they're all bloody rich. They're so rich, it's like John McCain can't even remember how many homes he owns. And so it's just a big game and a joke to them. They don't know what it feels like to wonder if you're going to have a meal tomorrow. It is a completely alien experience to them, and until they have that experience, they're not going to understand the dark side of some of the choices that they're making and the games that they're playing. You know, absolutely. Now, with regard to this stimulus plan, and I don't agree with everything in it, I think these bailouts are absolutely failing. Worse than that, they're fascist. Because a fascist economic model is let's take money from the people, give it to the banks so the banks can loan it back to the people at interest. And really, that's all the bailouts are, if you think about it. And under fascism, profits are privatized. If you make a lot of money, you get to keep it. But losses are socialized. They're dumped on the people. And that's what's going on. And we're up to something like $8.5 trillion between all the Federal Reserve emergency loans and the various bailouts. $8.5 trillion. That's a lot of money. Huge amount of money. You know, you almost can't even comprehend how much money that really is. You know, get out a calculator and divide it by the population of taxpayers in this country, and you are going to be for a huge shock. How much money, how much debt has been dumped onto you without your permission? Now, I want to put the way the government and the economy is working right now in terms of something that may make it a little bit easier to understand the psychology of what's going on. I'm very lucky. Mine. She is my wife, my best friend, my business partner. She's a composer. She writes a lot of the bump music you hear on the show. And she is a health nut. And so every morning when I get up and I go down to the kitchen, there's a little pile of about 87 vitamin pills, vitamins and minerals and all kinds of things. And it'll take me about 7.5 minutes to get them all down. And when I walk out of the kitchen, I can hear myself rattling. Okay, but Claire is convinced that these vitamins are going to make us live forever and that they will cure whatever ails you. And, you know, when I get sick, when I catch a flu or something, I say, well, I guess the vitamins let me down. So, oh, no. It would be much worse if you hadn't taken the vitamins. And then when I get better and you say, it's not had nothing to do with your immune system, it's the vitamins made you better. Absolutely convinced. And that's the way it's going. Now, how this relates to the Obama economy. The fact of the matter is, friends, listeners, fans, supporters, fellow Americans, whatever, the reality is our government doesn't really know how to fix the economy. They're doing everything wrong. And nothing that they're doing is actually working. It's just enriching favored cronies. They don't know how to fix it. What they're going to do is they're just going to thrash a bunch of stuff around and hope it sorts itself out. And when it does, they'll say, hey, we fixed it. And if it goes downhill, they're going to say, well, you know, it would be a lot worse if we weren't taking action. Because that's how politicians are. The things that go bad, it's somebody else's fault. In this case, it's justified. You know, when Barack Obama says the economy is a mess because of what the Bush administration did, that's actually true. And then Bush says, well, you know, the Clinton administration kind of messed things up as well. That's also true. The politicians will take credit for everything that's good and throw the blame on somebody else for everything that's bad. And the bottom line is, for all their talk and protestation about fixing the economy, they don't know how to do it. Because the only way to get this economy back up and running is for our country to make the kind of investment it takes to get to get new industries, new technologies, new products. I ran a story on what really happened earlier today. This group in Great Britain has solved the problem of high-powered LED light bulbs at low cost. There was a technological hurdle. We've all seen the LED flashlights. I love them. They're great. The LEDs last forever. But getting them in brightness to use as household illumination faced a technical barrier that made them very expensive, about $20 a unit. And these scientists in Great Britain solved that problem. Well, the United States used to do that kind of thing, and this would have been a great thing for the U.S. to do. But we didn't, because all of our money that we would normally put into this kind of R&D, we're spending it killing brown people. And we're spending it giving it to Israel so they can go kill brown people. And while we're spending the wealth of our nation and the blood of our children killing brown people, all the other nations on earth are coming up with the technological innovations to create the new products that they know how to make and we don't. And they're going to be selling their products around the world and we will not. The only way to fix the economy is to stop killing brown people and start developing new industries and new products and new technologies. And if we don't do that, this country is finished. Absolutely, absolutely finished. Look back at the 1990s and what a wonderful time. And, you know, everybody was, you know, huge money, and we were all shopping at Sharper Image and putting all this stuff we got at Sharper Image in a pile in the middle of the living room. And we'd roll around on it saying, ooh, I'm hot. That was our modern version of the Gilded Age that preceded the crash of 1890, or the Roaring Twenties that preceded the crash of 1929. History is repeating itself. That's what's wrong with history. And remember, in those previous two crashes, those golden ages followed by a crash, the U.S. got out of those crashes with a world war, which gets us back to all this push toward a new battle in Iran. We're going to take a break. We've got a caller waiting on the line. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
The GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We've got a caller waiting on the line, but before we go to Stephen, Ontario, I want to finish up a couple of things about the economy. Two real quick stories. First of all, it has now come out that the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, knew about the mortgage fraud problem for years. But they did nothing because the FBI's resources were stretched thin and were focused on anti-terror, meaning infiltrating peace activist groups and, you know, sending in informants to a bunch of patsies to set them up for headline-grabbing arrests, most of which resulted in acquittals in a court of law. But, you know, it was all part of selling this whole anti-terror thing. And they knew the economy was headed in this really cruddy direction, and they did nothing. We also know the Securities and Exchange Commission was doing nothing. We've since found out that a lot of these guys who were operating these pyramid schemes, these Ponzi schemes, were also major donors to politicians, including Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. No wonder the SEC was turning a blind eye. Now, my comment to the FBI is, this focus on infiltrating the peace activist groups and everything may have sounded good, but you realize by ignoring the mortgage fraud that you knew was going on, that you have been an accessory to more damage being done to the United States than any terrorist could ever hope to do. This country has been ruined by the economic policies of the Bush White House, and you guys helped them do it. It's not quite the image of the FBI that Jimmy Stewart did in FBI Story, is it? So shame on you. Shame on all of you. You should have known better. Now, one more quick story before we get to Steve here. Congressman John Carter, Republican of Texas, has introduced an interesting bill to the House, House Resolution 735, the Rangel Rule Act of 2009. It basically would change the IRS code so that the Internal Revenue Service cannot charge penalties and interest on back taxes. This is considered an emergency measure to basically deal with the non-compliance problem that is really gotten out of control. If you've seen all these ads on TV, you know, we'll solve your problems with the IRS and everything. We're being taxed into poverty, and the interest and penalties are just making the situation worse to the point where a lot of people are just hiding out and saying, I can't deal with this, I'm not even going to try. There's no point in trying to get back in good graces with the Internal Revenue Service. It's a hopeless situation. The bill keeps going up, and the salaries out here keep on going down. You know, and we've got people committing suicide over their economic situation out here. So they've put this bill through here, and this is going to be kind of interesting to see what happens to it. Because if it passes, it's basically, this is Congress' chance to show that they are as concerned with the American people as they are with the banks and investment houses on Wall Street. If this gets voted down, then it's basically Congress giving us all the finger. And once again, the message is, you, the people, will make do with less so that we in the government can have more. That is the message they will be sending. We're going to go to the phones. This is Steve in Ontario. Steve, aloha. Welcome to the show.
How are you this evening, Mike?
I'm fine. Sorry to keep you waiting so long, but you know, I'm in my groove here, and I wanted to get some things said. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, with hearing about Rod Blagojevich being thrown out today, it brought me back to basically the day before he got arrested, or mm-hmm. you know, got brought up on these charges, and just to really kind of emphasize where the power structure is, I mean, here's a governor of Illinois standing with a whole bunch. I mean, there. I don't know if there was 50 or 100 workers at a window plant that was basically being closed down by Bank of America because mm-hmm. they were calling in their loans on a perfectly legitimate business. And Rod Blagojevich is trying to stand up for these workers and wagging his finger at Bank of America saying, how dare you? I mean, this is a solid business that's been around in this area for years and years. And here you guys pull the rug out from under them and put 250 people out of work for no reason whatsoever. And boom, next day, he's up on charges. It's just amazing. It reminded me so much of Elliot Spitzer. I mean, wasn't he going after some of the big boys on Wall Street for some of this bad stuff? And boom, all of a sudden, before he can bring up the charges, same thing.
Yeah, it is. It is a repeating pattern. And, you know, like I said when we were talking about this thing, Blagojevich didn't actually do anything. He talked about it. But, you know, we all talk about things that, you know, I'm going to go you know, whatever the annoying neighbor and whatnot. But talking about it isn't the same thing as doing about it, or thinking about it isn't the same thing as doing about it. Blagojevich didn't actually commit a crime. But you're right, he got kicked out, and basically what it is, this is the money power of this country.
Yep.
Attempting to prove once and for all that you do not stand up to it. Yeah, Elliot Spitzer went through the same thing. This there was another case. I'm trying to remember this other governor, I think down in New Jersey, was trying to expose some of the financial misbehaving of the banking industry, and he got nailed on a situation. And it's an ongoing pattern. And, you know, what the Federal Reserve and its member banks are trying to do is they're trying to send a message. You don't point fingers at us. You don't do anything to challenge our power and authority, or we will bring you down somehow. And, you know, it is a shameful demonstration, but I think we're coming up at the point where the American people have had enough of this thing. And certainly to look at what's going on in other countries around the world, I mean, they've got a general strike in France that's just crippled the place right now. Greece is still paralyzed by their protests. Mexico's hanging on the brink. They just had a general strike in Germany. I was talking to a neighbor who just came from Germany and is still talking to her family back there, and she says it's absolutely shut down over there. Iceland's government has already collapsed. I think we're seeing a global rejection of this usury-based, debt-based monetary system that is just a tool of enslavement of us all. It grants to the banks a legalized right to counterfeit and debase the currency, and leaves we, the people, to spend our entire lives struggling to pay off the accumulated debts that are manufactured for us out of thin air using manufactured money. It's manufactured out of thin air.
Yeah, it's amazing. I just every day, every new story that I read on your website or other websites, it just boggles my mind. The thing, I mean, when it comes right down to it, though, like it seems like whenever they need to shut somebody down, they've got a trigger. It seems like they've got dirt on everybody, and no one can speak out. I mean, as far as the government goes, Ron Paul's about the only one that I don't think they have pictures with him with a goat or something that, I mean, that they can pull out of a drawer someplace. But, I mean, everybody else, maybe Dennis Kucinich, but nobody else seems to be able to stand up. Everyone's got dirt on everybody. It's such a corrupt system, and the corruption is just pulling it down. The weight of the corruption is just weighing everything down, whether it be the financial system, the corporate system, the government system. It is just bloated with corruption to the point where it's imploding. And unfortunately, there is no way to fix it, Mike. You said it before.
No, I don't think there is. I don't think there is.
Because no one's going to voluntarily take the fall. So therefore, everyone else is propping up everyone else with dirt. You know, it's like, you can't do that to me or I'll expose you. And it's like, you can't do that to me or I'll expose you. And it's like, it just keeps on piling on. And it's just, it's like a bad movie. It just blows me away, man.
Well, see, with a movie, you can turn it off and change the channel. We're stuck with this. We're stuck with this mess, you know, and it's horrible to watch it happening. But I really do think, I don't think the United States government can solve the economy, and that means the United States government can't solve itself. I think we're at that stage where they're just looting the country. They're borrowing as much money on the back of the people to put in their own pocket to hide overseas. When it all comes apart, you know, they're going to get stuck. Thanks a lot for the call, Steve. We're going to let you go here because I got to cover Israel and Gaza in the remaining segment of our show today. So, stay tuned. We're going to be back after some words from our sponsor, wrapping up about what's going on with Israel and Gaza. Yet again, you're not going to believe the latest. We'll be right back.
The Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
America, welcome back to the show. Last segment of our show today before we head on out. Now, last week, the British Broadcasting Corporation announced that it was going to refuse to show a humanitarian fundraising appeal for the victims of Israel's attack on Gaza. And it cited as its reason for doing so, even though it has done many of these same deck appeals over the years for other war-torn areas, but it refused to do one for Gaza, saying that it was concerned over its image of impartiality in regards to this issue between Israel and Gaza. Well, today, the BBC's impartiality is on full display with a story they're running bashing the Pope over reinstating a bishop who doubts the official story of the Holocaust. And I say impartiality in quote marks because if the BBC really wanted to be impartial, they would put the bishop on to explain why he thinks the way he does. Impartiality would demand that BBC report on the many aspects of the Orthodox story that have already been proven to be fraudulent, such as the lampshade story and the soap story. But we don't get any of those from the impartial BBC. We just get this constant harangue about what a terrible pope he is to bring back this bishop who doubts the official story, who refuses to believe as he's told to believe. I'm sorry, but to deny showing the humanitarian fundraiser for Gaza, claiming that it violates impartiality, and then to come on today with this one-sided attack on the Pope. And I'm no big fan of Pope Benny or the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was very, very impolite to my ancestors back in the 1490s. But fair is fair. And for the BBC to not show the humanitarian relief, claiming impartiality, and then turn around with this one-sided attack on the Pope and this bishop is just the ultimate of hypocrisy. And, you know, I think BBC has just utterly, as far as I'm concerned, BBC's credibility is gone. They have destroyed their credibility, and they are banned in this household. And I'm sorry, Graham Norton, we like your show. My wife likes your show. But, you know, you're banned in this household till further notice. Now, Israel is continuing to bomb and attack Gaza. They insist it is not a violation of the ceasefire. I am not making this up. I am not making this up. The Israeli military attacked what it claimed was a weapons manufacturing facility in Rafah today, hole in the ground, and continued to bomb tunnels along the Gaza-Egypt border in what it said was a retaliation for a Qassam launch by militants in the Gaza Strip. Now, here's where it gets to be really good. The Qassam launch was claimed by Israel to be retaliation for Israel attacks on Hamas. Those attacks were retaliation for a bombing in Israel by a group which is unconnected with Hamas, this Jihad and Tawhid Brigades. So this brigades sets off a bomb inside Israel. Israel attacks Gaza. Then Israel says that Gaza has attacked back, although nobody can find where this rocket supposedly hit, and then proceeds to be bombing along this whole border area where the tunnels are. And yet Israel insists this is not a violation of the ceasefire to be doing this. I mean, this is the degree of absurdity the Israeli propaganda has hit at this point. Now, the closing of the tunnels and the closing of the borders, Israel is refusing any construction materials to be allowed inside for the rebuilding of Gaza. Israel has bombed schools, mosques, hospitals. They will not allow in any construction materials at all, under the excuse that they could be used by Hamas to prepare for war. This is collective punishment, and it is a war crime, absolutely beyond all shadow of a doubt. This is a war crime being carried out by Israel. Now, speaking of war crimes, interestingly enough, Spain, a Spanish court, has opened an investigation into the 2002 bombing in Gaza by Israel and has said that this is a war crime, and they are going to try Israel's leaders for that war crime. And I predict an Al-Qaeda attack on Spain any time now because of that. Meanwhile, Israel continues to recruit volunteers for their army of bloggers set up by the Absorption Ministry and Foreign Ministry with a stated objective of flooding blogs with pro-Israel opinions. So if you're out there in the blogosphere at various websites and blogs, and including mine, and you're seeing these posts that say Israel, c coordinated propaganda campaign, no different than the one that Adolf Hitler. Campaign on the blogs, Israel has announced that they will continue to defy United Nations Resolution 242 by expanding the illegal settlements on Palestinian land. And this really comes down to the heart of the situation. Israel is not supposed to be building in land. What they're trying to do is to get so many Jewish-only settlements on these lands. That is Israel's goal. The last 60 years of misery and death in the Middle East is based on a simple hypocrisy. Israel wants to be recognized as a state, and they want to be recognized to have a right to exist. Okay, that's fine. But fair is fair. We should also recognize Palestine and say that they have a right to exist and live in peace and carry on commerce and do chicken farming. Apparently, the Israeli invasion into Gaza, they bulldozed chicken farms with the chickens inside the coops, so the chickens were buried alive. What a horrible death. Were the chickens firing rockets at Israel? Of course not. Israel is trying to kill Gaza's ability to feed and take care of itself. The goal is to get the Gazans out of Gaza so Israel can take it over. Israel will not give to Palestine what Israel demands for itself, a right to exist in a state of their own. And that is the entire root cause of the problem with the Mideast. The UN partition plan called for an Israeli state and a Palestinian state, and Israel rejected it. David Ben-Gurion simply went out and said, I declare Israel to be in existence. And Harry Truman, under the urging of Chaim Weizmann, said, I recognize the new state of Israel. And the UN partition plan was never ratified and never implemented. And the first thing Israel said is, we reject that there is a Palestine or a Palestinian people. They were never here. They don't exist. Go back and look at some of the quotes by Golda Meir. You know, there's no such thing as a Palestinian people, she said. And that's been the attitude all along. You know, Israel has a right to be here. Nobody else has a right to be here. There is no Palestinian state. Well, once Israel said that, of course, the other Arab nations in the region said, well, if you don't recognize Palestine's right to exist, we don't recognize your right to exist. You won't recognize a Palestinian state. We won't recognize the Israeli state. And that's really it. Iran has come over and said, we will acknowledge an Israeli state the instant Israel acknowledges Palestine. Israel is always making a big deal about Iran refuses to recognize the state of Israel. That's right. But Iran will recognize the state of Israel the day that Israel recognizes Palestine's right to exist. And that's really the situation. All of this unhappiness and bloodshed and grief and expense is because Israel will not grant to others that which Israel demands for itself. It is that basic hypocrisy, that basic double standard that Israel can have and Palestine cannot, that is the core issue to everything that we have seen in that part of the world in the last 60 years. It is time for Israel to grow up and stop acting like a spoiled child and say, okay, if Israel wants to be a state and live in peace, all they got to do is grant the same thing to Palestine. It was their land. I'm sorry, but that's it. Go back and look at the maps of the 1800. There's no Israel on there. It all says, Palestine. Just be fair. Be balanced. That's how you get peace. Israel doesn't want peace. Its actions prove it. It wants the Arabs, the Palestinians, to go away, to take their land. We'll be back tomorrow with Lenny Charles from INN talking about torture charges against the leaders of the United States of America. I'm going to fire up the popcorn for that one. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.